I chose to write about a choir director who's Lutheran and who's a big city girl but has moved to a small town.
Katie Schuerman talking about her new novel, The Choir Immortal.
I really wanted to address suffering in the present tense, this theology of the cross.
You can find out more about The Choir Immortal at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. The Choir Immortal by Katie Schuerman.
I don't see how the party that says it's the party of the family is going to adopt an immigration policy which destroys families that have been here a quarter century.
This is the epiphany moment. This is the road to Damascus moment for Republicans and conservatives. Newt Gingrich can possibly provide fodder for that epiphany or for that collective corporate epiphany on behalf of Republicans and conservatives.
I'm proud to say that I managed to get a doctorate in economics, get tenured at a major university, write two books, raise two children, eight foster children, and I have never read a single issue of Ms. Magazine.
If there's no teaching that man is utterly corrupt and deserving God's wrath, then there's certainly no room for the gospel.
Duluth, Minnesota letter carriers love issues, etc.
We often talk about the first disciples, and if you know your New Testament, you can name the first disciples, Peter, James, John, and then maybe it gets a little fuzzy after that, because the one who actually is, at least by my kind of survey reckoning of the New Testament, is first, often is forgotten, and that's Andrew. At least he seems to be the first of Jesus' disciples, chronologically speaking. And if you read John's gospel, he's kind of all over that gospel, sometimes in the background, sometimes in the foreground. Well, the church today remembers the apostle Andrew. You've seen his cross in sometimes the most unlikely places. It looks like an X, but it is in fact cross. It is reminiscent of the way that he died, the way that he was martyred for the faith and for the proclamation of salvation in Jesus' name. We'll find out why it's a good thing that the church remembers Andrew the Apostle here in this hour of Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We are coming to you live this Wednesday afternoon. It's the 30th of November. Dr. Curtis Giese will be our guest for the first few minutes to talk about Andrew the Apostle, and then Dr. Paul Grimm will explain to us the why, the wherefore, the what of those liturgical changes that are taking place in the Roman Catholic liturgy. They've been a long time coming, but just now they're being implemented. Dr. Curtis Giese is a regular guest. He's professor of theology at Concordia University in Texas. He joins us to talk about Andrew the Apostle. Dr. Giese, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Oh, thank you so much. An honor to be with you.
Was this man, Andrew, in addition to being kind of related into the first disciples, was he in fact the first disciple of Jesus chronologically?
It appears so. According to John chapter 1, we have the account where Jesus was just baptized. And the day after that, John the Baptist is there and he sees Jesus once again. And he points out, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Now, Andrew was one of the disciples of John the Baptist. And there's also another disciple there. He's unnamed, but very possibly John. And when they hear this confession and declaration of Jesus being the promised Lamb of God, the promised Messiah, they are led to be with him for that day. And Jesus says, "Come and be with me." And it's after that, with that, that they become disciples of Jesus. And immediately after that time of Jesus, in which Andrew is led to recognize Jesus as the Messiah, immediately Andrew goes and tells his brother Simon Peter that they have been led to find the Messiah, the promised Savior. And this is very indicative of Andrew, that he is the one through whom others are led to Jesus. So a great blessing in his witness to bring others to Jesus. But yes, in answer to your question, it seems that he, along with this other unnamed disciple, possibly John, was led to be the first disciples of Jesus.
There's a kind of fluid inner circle of Jesus' disciples that it's often just Peter, James, and John, but sometimes Andrew is in there. Is he part of that inner group that gets to witness certain things, gets to hear certain things from Jesus that the others, at least at the time, don't?
It indeed seems to be, yes, between an inner three and an inner four, the inner three being Peter, James, and John. and they were privileged to see such events by themselves as the transfiguration, the raising of Jairus' daughter, and being with Jesus at Gethsemane. But also, the inner four then, including Andrew, they're privileged to hear from Jesus what he had to say about the end times in Matthew 13, or also apparently the healing of Simon Peter's mother-in-law. And also, the fact that he was of the inner four may account for one situation just a few days before Jesus' death, in which some Greek individuals wanted to meet Jesus, and they went to Philip, and then Philip brought them first to Andrew. And then Andrew, apparently the inner four and known as one who had introduced others to Jesus, Andrew then brings them to Jesus as well. So he's indeed important, and typically in the lists of apostles, he is among the first four after Peter, James, and John. And so he was indeed one of the privileged few to be in that inner circle of Jesus with the disciples.
Does he have any lines? I mean, that's another way you kind of find out something about these first disciples of Jesus, is that they actually say things. Does Andrew get any lines in any of the four Gospels?
Well, in John 1, in that event where he is led to, after John the Baptist says, this is the Lamb of God, he and the other apostles say, where are you staying? And Jesus says, come and you will see. That's just very briefly there. Andrew's name is mentioned 9 times in the New Testament, usually just in passing, but there's that, what I just mentioned in John chapter 1. And then in the situation of the feeding of the 5,000 in the Gospel of John, Jesus tells his disciples to feed this huge crowd of 5,000 men plus women and children, and they're all scrambling as to wondering how to do this. But Andrew, nonetheless, realizing it's not enough, brings a boy with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. He realizes this is not enough, but apparently recognizes Jesus as Savior once again, and he, in faith, brings this boy to him and realizes that Jesus can provide for this large crowd. And that event was essentially a recapitulation of feeding the Israelites in the wilderness, where out of nothing, God provided for them. In a very similar situation there, where Christ provides bread sustenance for them, as he declares that he is the bread of life as well.
So if you were going to write a brief biography of Andrew about the man himself, how would it generally go, Dr. Giese?
Well, he is, of the inner four, the least contentious and the most thoughtful of them. As you compare Andrew to the others, James and John are called the sons of thunder, apparently, because of their disposition. And also their mother tries to get them on Jesus' right and left hand. And Peter is one who is often a bit too rambunctious, confident in himself. But Andrew is one who is thoughtful, is happy to stand more so in the background. As mentioned, the first thing he does after meeting Jesus, spending the day with him, is go to Peter and introduce Peter to Jesus. Then Andrew more so takes a back seat. He appears comfortable to be in the background and let others take the spotlight a little bit more, and especially to point others to Christ, to point to Christ. So he is a wonderful example among the saints to focus on Christ, to point to him rather than to himself. So we give very much thanks for Andrew in his life of service, in pointing away from himself and pointing to his Lord instead.
Outside the testimony of the New Testament, what do we know or what is reported about the Apostle Andrew?
According to church tradition, he actually visits quite a few countries. He is reported to have been in the area of present-day Georgia, Romania, Ukraine, Russia, Greece as well. The See of Constantinople claims that he established that see. He is claimed to be the patron saint of Scotland, although apparently he never visited there. He is in various parts of Greece, as mentioned, and it appears, according to tradition, that he was martyred in Patras, Greece, in the area of southern Greece. It appears that by the Roman ruler Aegeus, that ruler's wife was brought to Christianity, apparently through the word and witness of Andrew, and that angered that ruler. He asked her to recant. She would not, and that anger was dealt out to Andrew instead, who was then crucified. But he did not want to be crucified like the Lord, but rather the crucifix was in an X shape instead. And he was bound to the cross to prolong his time of crucifixion. And apparently during that time of crucifixion, he would speak boldly in witness of Christ and inviting and encouraging others to become Christian as well through the his faithful witness there on the cross. And also, November 30th, today, is the day that he was crucified, according to church tradition.
Well, let's take a break when we come back a few more minutes with Dr. Curtis Giese talking about Andrew the Apostle. Dr. Giese is professor of theology at Concordia University, Texas. When we come back, you've seen his cross in various places, some unlikely places. You may not even recognize it as St. Andrew's cross. It appears, perhaps to our untrained eyes, as merely just a big X, but it's all over the place, and we'll find out where and why when we come back a little bit later after we conclude our conversation with Dr. Giese. We'll take up the subject of changes in Roman Catholic liturgy that are now afoot, long in the planning but now implemented. Dr. Paul Grimm of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, will be our guest.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November is a book and a DVD. It's a Bible study on three major themes in Scripture: witness, mercy, life together. Now, the DVD features four instructional videos by Lutheran Church Missouri Synod President Matt Harrison. You can purchase Witness, Mercy, Life Together by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, Witness, Mercy, Life Together.
The faith, once for all, delivered to the saints. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc., the Issues Etc. business card, and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11-inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
It's here. It's here. It's finally here. Lutheran Catechesis Catechist Edition. A comprehensive guide to catechesis for a Lutheran congregation, including expanded helps on the catechism, a section of catechesis on the table of duties, Christian vocation, and learn-by-heart schedules for the congregation at prayer. Order yours today from the Concordia Catechetical Academy at peacesussex.org.
I I'm Todd Wilkin. Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's Wednesday afternoon, November the 30th. We're remembering, along with the rest of the church on this day, Andrew the Apostle. Dr. Curtis Giese is our guest, professor of theology at Concordia University in Texas. In just a few minutes, we'll explain the why and the wherefore of the changes that are being made in the Roman Catholic liturgy with Dr. Paul Grimm. Dr. Giese, the symbol that's most associated with Andrew, reminiscent of his crucifixion, is St. Andrew's cross. It appears in places other than in the churchly context. Talk about that.
That cross of Andrew has become an important part of a number of countries. As mentioned, Scotland, that cross is on the flag of Scotland. Actually, as mentioned, he is a patron saint of Scotland. In the 9th century, there was a certain king who was going out to battle against the Angles, and he said that he would dedicate the country, make it his patron saint, dedicate to Andrew if somehow he'd be granted victory in battle. And in a vision, he saw this X-shaped cross of Andrew, and he was granted victory. So he dedicated his country to St. Andrew. So also in the flag of Australia, we see this crucifix like that, New Zealand, Nova Scotia. And that shape also appears in the flags of Florida and Alabama, among our states as well.
So he has quite a legacy, at least in the symbol of the St. Andrew's cross. When the church remembers him today, as it has for centuries, then finally, what are we remembering? What is the best way to remember this inner circle disciple, this apostle, this missionary, and this martyr, St. Andrew?
It's best to remember him as allowing himself to decrease and others to increase. Indeed, Peter came much more to the forefront, although Andrew came first in line chronologically. Others came foremost in the rest of Scripture. Peter, of course, became the mouthpiece of the apostles, not always to their total benefit, but we see how Peter became so prominent in the book of Acts, and Andrew is just barely mentioned only once in the book of Acts after the resurrection and ascension of Jesus. So he promoted Christ, pointed to Christ, focused on him, and that was indeed appropriate since he is our hope and the focus of our faith and not humanity, unlike some of the apostles who would point more so to themselves at times. So we give thanks to the word and witness of Andrew of consistently pointing to Christ.
Dr. Curtis Giese is professor of theology at Concordia University, Texas. Dr. Giese, thank you very much for your time, and a blessed St. Andrew's Day to you.
Thank you, and the same to you.